Ted Brewer Show. This is your host, Austin Brewer, tonight on Sunday, December the 20th, I think. Been a great weekend, had a lot of fun. Ted is on the show with us. Can you hear me?
I'm here with you, buddy.
Yep, you did a great show on the Hagman Show, Hagman Report on Friday, so I hope everybody got to hear that. If not, I'm sure you can go back in the archives and hear the reruns on that. But, how'd everything go on Friday?
Oh, it was a lot of fun, Austin. I told the same story that you told on Friday, unannounced, that I didn't know you had done that, about that Disney disaster when they tried to have us ejected out of the park for laughing.
Oh, yeah. That's funny. We didn't even plan that.
Well, no. That's why I told everybody that I'd had enough of the rat, which is Mickey Mouse. I'm done with that whole nonsense, and it's just awful. But let's talk about Christmas some a little bit. We're getting close. Veterans Administration Hospital bans holiday cheer, Merry Christmas. You can no longer say Merry Christmas at the Veterans Hospital. It says basically this is in Salem, Virginia, and it says that no more Christmas trees, no more carols, no more Merry Christmas in the public areas at all. That they're going to bah humbug it and say, not now, not ever, never again. So jingle bells, everything else is done. No more Christmas information at the veterans. You know what's so sad about this? So many of our veterans are suffering with post-traumatic stress syndrome, and they're so depressed. And maybe somebody saying Merry Christmas to them or wishing them a Happy New Year would make them happy and make them feel better. You know what I'm saying? But oh, no, not this. And then I like this one, too. This is, oh, good grief, school district now censoring Charlie Brown's Christmas. The latest Yuletide lunacy comes from Johnson County, Kentucky, where the school district has censored an elementary school presentation of a Charlie Brown Christmas. At one school, Silent Night was replaced with a Christmas version of Whip Nay Nay Song. Yes, good readers, apparently that is a real thing. How do you go from Silent Night to Whip Nay Nay? One distraught grandmother asked me. We're not happy about this, but that's what they have done. I mean, this is political correctness absolutely run amok. This is what's happening. This is what the globalists want. And it was so interesting. I had another article from a rabbi, and the rabbi said that they're hoping for this complete and total destruction of Europe by the Muslim race, because once everything gets turned totally upside down, the Messiah will return. Now, remember, this is what the Sabbateans were teaching back in the 16, 1700s and the Frankists, that they believe that once this thing gets so upside down and so bad that God's going to come back. That's the motive, apparently, they have to destroy the entire planet. So it's kind of crazy, dude. I mean, I cannot believe this is really going on. And, in fact, what's interesting is I looked up this the other day because I was trying to figure out how in the world, you know, we were quoting all of this stuff from Pike. And what Pike was saying in the letters that he wrote in the First, Second, and Third World War, I thought that had been written in Morals and Dogma. And so I went through the book Morals and Dogma, which is like 700 pages. I couldn't find it, but I have to admit I didn't do it very thoroughly. But then I did find some letters from Mazzini. And what it was saying is that now they're saying this letter that was supposedly in this British museum has disappeared. So now they're saying they don't know if the letter was even real or not. But here's what the letter said, and I thought was interesting. The First World War must be brought about in an order to permit the Illuminati to overthrow the powers of the Tsars in Russia and making that country a fortress of atheist communism. The divergencies caused by these agents of the Illuminati between the British and Germanic empires will be used to foment this war. At the end of the war, communism will be built and used in order to destroy other governments and to weaken other religions. Then he goes on to say the Second World War must be fomented by taking advantages of between the fascists and the political Zionists so as to destroy Germany and Russia, and also, I'm paraphrasing this, and also to institute a sovereign state of Israel and Palestine. During the Second World War, international communism must be strong enough in order to balance Christendom. And he goes, the Third World War will be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agentur of the Illuminati between the political Zionists and the leaders of the Islamic world. The war must be conducted in such a way that Islam, the modern Arab world, and political Zionism, the state of Israel, must mutually destroy each other. Meanwhile, the other nations, once more divided on this issue, will be constrained to fight to the point of complete physical, moral, spiritual, and economic exhaustion. Then we shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists, and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm with all of its horror and show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, the origin of, say, savagery and the bloody turmoil. Then everywhere the citizens obliged to defend themselves against this world of the revolutionaries will exterminate those destroyers of civilizations, and the multitude, disillusioned with Christianity, whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass or direction, anxious for an ideal but without knowing whether to render its adoration, will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer, brought finally out in the public view. This manifestation will result from the general reactionary movement and will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time. Is that nuts or what?
That's pretty crazy.
And, you know, whether the thing's legit or not, boy, they're laying it all out pretty tight. And this is, goes back into the, you know, early part of the 19th century when this letter was originally, when it originally surfaced. So they're talking about all of this stuff. So remember, Albert Pike was like a super high up Masonic leader. In addition to that, he spoke 16 languages fluently, which blows my mind. I've never even heard of that before. And so he was a very brilliant man when he wrote Morals and Dogma, but he was also a Luciferian. That's what he did. I mean, he worshiped Lucifer. And so they're trying to bring in this Luciferian religion through the entire planet, and they're planning on doing it with a third world war. So we just got to stand and believe that that's not going to happen as far as I'm concerned. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, well, we've definitely seen a further push as far as for World War III lately, and on top of that, we're starting to see more and more of a militarized police state throughout the entire world. You know, I mentioned a couple articles on Friday. You know, we have another one now where the European Union is exploiting the entire refugee case to basically help create, they basically help create by pushing draconian plans for an occupying army that would have the power to take control over national borders without consent of the sovereign government. Essentially, instead of handling more power to the national governments to address the migrant crisis, the European Union now is basically going to eviscerate the sovereignty of all member states under a new proposal that they just passed that would permit the deployment of 2,500 armed guards wearing European Union uniforms, along with naval patrol vessels, helicopters, and drones. And this is a quote from Dimitrios Avramopoulos, the European Commissioner for Migration. He states, the EU's first paramilitary force would have the power to take control of a nation's borders without the consent of the sovereign governments. And that's huge for anybody that doesn't really understand what he's talking about. They're creating a European Union military to completely take over and control the borders of all the countries in the European Union, which means the countries inside the EU now will have no sovereignty or any say about this. This military or paramilitary force will essentially be able to operate in any European country without any type of guidelines or ramifications for anything they do. This is what we're starting to see more and more in every country now with the increased paramilitary state and the local police state that we're seeing become closer in, and that just lines right up with World War III.
Well, you're right. The world right now is drenched in war, Austin. According to a recent report, U.S. troops basically have some type of military operation or presence in 147 countries. That's 75% of the world. I mean, kind of sounds like an empire to me. Why is that even necessary? And how could your community, what could your community do with a portion of these funds that it costs to operate this empirical nightmare? I'm reading this from an article. It says, man, imagine our little town that we live in, Auburndale, if they sent us $1 billion. I mean, we could just completely change everything in our whole town. The U.S. should have the U.S. should have the finest roads, bridges, hospitals, schools, the highest educational standards in the world. But instead, we have war, death, and destruction as far as the eye can see. As he stated on numerous occasions, the U.S. business model is war, and the U.S. dollar is backed by war. We have been reduced to a manufacturing war instead of cars, gardening tools, and clothing. In order to better understand how this is possible, let's look at the source of funding. War is not cheap, and the maintenance of war is a very high cost. And he goes into detail about how the exchange stabilization funds works, what's happened with the gold, all the stuff that's happened with the silver, all the rigging of the markets. And, you know, he's absolutely right, Austin. I mean, we've turned into a complete and total country that operates the largest military industrial complex in the world, which is multinationally based now, and we provide, we're the biggest arms dealer in the world, and nobody really understands what we're doing and how we're contributing to the destruction of the entire planet And it's all about the fact that war's a racket, just like Smedley Butler said back in the 20s, and that just like Eisenhower warned us about the military industrial complex. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. And the biggest problem that we have, Austin, and I'm going to be very kind when I say this because it's the holidays, is that the average American, not those listening to this show, but the average American who doesn't hear alternative news or alternative radio, they have absolutely no idea what's going on. It's kind of like today. We had our preacher who was talking about love, and we have a great, great speaker. I mean, he's a phenomenal preacher at our church. We go to the First Baptist Church here in Lakeland, close to our house, and we have one of the top speakers that I consider preachers in the whole country. And what was funny is, you know, after we got done, you know, the sermon was done, they was talking about love and forgiveness. I looked at my wife, Sharon, and I said, you know, the sad part about it is the people who go to this church, they don't even realize how good of a speaker they have as a pastor. And so I sent him a really nice email just exhorting him, telling him how great of a job he did. See, that's the same problem again. The people in the United States have no idea what's going on globally. I talk to people about the European Union, and they look at me, they don't even know what I'm talking about. I asked them who the first president of the United States was. They don't even know it was George Washington. These people went through our school systems. They're completely and totally clueless. But if I ask them how many husbands Angelina Jolie has had, they know exactly how many. Or what Michael Jackson's greatest hits were, they know exactly what they are. Or who won America's Idol or The Voice, they know exactly who won that. And the problem is, the mainstream media, Austin, has done such an exceptional job of keeping people in an alpha brainwave state and basically hypnotizing them with their high-def TVs now, that most people don't even care if we have a world war. If you told most people that we have a comet coming in that's going to destroy half the planet, they'd yawn and go to sleep and go turn back on American Idol or The Voice. They wouldn't even care. They'd think you were just joking. Oh, that's not going to happen, man. Okay. But that's the craziest thing that we have in the United States, is that we have been so dumbed down from the fluoride, the chemicals, the statin drugs, the GMOs, the educational system. It just goes on and on and on. I think you've got an article there on fluoride you were going to read too, don't you?
Well, yeah. Well, it touches base on it. You know, we've discussed repeatedly how, you know, essentially cancer is, you know, as we've talked about numerous times, that it's an industry. Cancer's an industry. It's not even a disease anymore. It's a full-blown industry. It's designed to extract as much money as it can out of the entire population. They know exactly what to do to help prevent cancer and to help get rid of cancer. And here's a couple quotes here on basically some of the most important scientists in the world that have done a massive amount of cancer research. Linus Pauling, PhD, who actually won 2-time Nobel Prize winner in chemistry, stated, "Everyone should know that most cancer research is largely a fraud and that the major cancer research organizations are derelict in their duties to the people who support them." That this guy won 2-time Nobel Prize winner in chemistry. So he had he knew a little something about it. Another one, Dr. John Baylor, who spent 20 years on the staff of the National Cancer Institute and also former editor of the journal, stated, "My overall assessment is that the National Cancer Program must be judged a qualified failure. Our whole cancer research in the past 20 years has been a total failure." Goes on, Dr. Dean Burke, who is an American biochemist and senior chemist for the National Cancer Institute, stated, this is the interesting one, "Fluoride causes more human cancer deaths than any other chemical." I'm going to repeat that again. He stated, "Fluoride causes more human cancer deaths than any other chemical. It is some of the most conclusive scientific and biological evidence that I have come across in my 50 years in the field of cancer research." This guy isn't some yak that's on, you know, CBS telling you to make sure you take your fluoride treatment, or this is bad, or this is good for you. This guy was a biochemist and senior chemist for the National Cancer Institute, and he states without hesitation that fluoride causes more human cancer deaths than any other chemical known to man. Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? Because it's funny how after we started adding fluoride to the central, you know, states and county water municipal treatment centers, that cancer has spiked massively in the past 60, 70 years now. Does anybody have any type of idea why it did that? Right there, that should give you a general evidence. Stop using the fluoride mouthwash. Stop using the fluoride toothpaste. Stop drinking fluoridated water or tap water. Drink distilled water or at least reverse osmosis water. There's simple things you can do to keep this stuff out of your system. When you go to the dentist, tell them you don't want fluoride treatments. Your children don't want fluoride treatments. They do not need it. It does absolutely nothing to prevent tooth decay or any type of teeth or tooth health. There's another article here that completely substantiates that, and it states a new study has revealed the startling connection between B12 and periodontitis, a reversible condition commonly referred to as gum disease. In particular, an inverse association between serum vitamin B12 and the progression of gum disease and tooth loss risk. In other words, the lower a person's B12 levels, the higher risk of tooth loss and advancement of gum disease. So right there, you have a high dose of B12 essentially negates almost any and all teeth and gum problems, if obviously you have proper hygiene with your teeth, but all you need to do is brush and rinse. We have a great mouthwash, fluoride-free, and a great toothpaste that's fluoride-free at our website at healthmasters.com, and that's who's bringing the show to you tonight, is healthmasters.com. I mean, you've been talking about it for years, Dad, probably 30, 40 years now. I mean, how do you get through to people and making them realize that fluoride is not their friend?
Well, you know, it's interesting you asked that, Austin. Also, remember, too, B12 is very important, and it needs to be methylcobalamin, not cyanidecobalamin.
Yes.
And, you know, we only carry the methylcobalamin in our products. We don't put the cyanidecobalamin in our products. Cyanide is the much cheaper form of this, basically, if it's made from cyanide, and you really don't need that in your body. So, but in high, a small enough concentration, though, you know, on its behalf, it'll metabolize, but there's no point in doing that when you go with a much higher grade of product with the methylcobalamin. But the reality is this. I've been telling people for the last, oh gosh, the Health Masters, we've been in business now for 35 years. I've been telling people for 35 years not to use fluoride. And, you know, people listen or they don't. I mean, just the other day, I talked to a gentleman who was basically having a problem as far as they wanting to force him to get a hepatitis A vaccine, and he listens. And he wanted to know what you could do. And I told him, I said, well, if you have any egg allergies or latex allergies, you can get away from these immunizations because the latex is in the seal of the cork of the bottle, and they almost always grow almost all of these immunizations in eggs. And you don't know if they do or not, but you have to take the risk that they're going to do that. You can't do that if you have an egg allergy. And luckily he had an egg allergy, but see, he gets it. Some people simply don't get it. I mean, you can sit right there, and I'm not kidding you. I could take a sheet of paper that's black, it's pitch black, and I could say to somebody, this piece of paper is pitch black, and they would go to me, no, it's not as dark purple, or no, it's not as dark blue, or no, it's not as real dark burgundy. And you're like, but it's black. No, it's not. And it doesn't make a difference. You can sit there and show people Building 7 falling down across the street from 9/11 and nothing else around it is being touched, and you'll say, this was a clear implosion. We have top building explosive experts in the world saying this was an explosion, this thing was taken down by an implosion. No, it didn't. That didn't happen. We have 1,500 scientists and engineers that have gotten together now and have said that these buildings were demoed. No, they didn't. I don't agree with them. But where did you get your engineering degree? Well, I don't. I don't have an engineering degree. Well, where did you go to college? Well, I didn't go to college. You didn't go to college. You don't have an engineering degree, but you're telling me that 1,500 people who are professionals in this field are all stupid and they're all lying. Well, I don't agree with any of them. It doesn't make any difference. You can do whatever you want to do. I can talk to you until you're blue in the face about childhood immunizations, about flu shots, about thimerosal, about aluminum, about squalene, about all these different things, fetal tissue cells, which are basically dead baby bees, aborted baby cells that they're using to grow some of these lines in as far as these immunizations. It doesn't make any difference. I mean, I can talk to them about how the U.S. is leading the world when it comes to heart disease, to diabetes and cancer, how the leading cause in death in children age 14 and under other than accidents is cancer. I can talk to them about we have the highest infant death rate of any industrialized nation. I can tell them that the leading cause of death in our little children is leukemia. It doesn't make a difference. Nothing matters, Austin. You can sit there until you're blue in the face and they're not going to listen, or they are going to listen. And I don't know why. Some people get their gear. And I remember I took a seminar years and years ago with a guy that ended up being kind of an interesting fellow, so I won't mention his name. And I remember he said something like this. He goes, the biggest problem with people in general is they get stuck in know-it-all gear. You can ask them about albino racehorses out of the southern tip of Tiberia, and they're an expert. Okay, nobody's an expert on that. You can ask about anybody, about anything, and they've got their opinion, and they're an expert. And if you try to give them the facts, they don't want to be confused with the facts because they've already made up their opinion. So that's what I've seen. I mean, when you see all of these people with all these autistic kids walking around and in public, and the kids are just screaming and yelling and carrying on, you know, you think, wow, how'd that happen? Well, the reason for that is because that child was, in most cases, given the immunizations or was given a bunch of glyphosate. And the sad part about it is, in many cases, the parents still don't get it. Even when the first child comes down with autism, then they give the second shot instead of the second kid a bunch of shots. Same time, same place, that kid comes down with autism. Finally, they give the third kid a bunch of shots. Third comes down with autism. I've seen this. And now we have to have multiple children in a family with autism or partial autism. You know, there's different spectrums of this, different levels of it. And you're like, what don't you get? You did something to start with for the perfectly normal child, and something happened to that child. Maybe you don't want to do the same thing again, but they don't get it. Now they want to blame the fact that, oh, we don't know why all of our children have autism. We don't understand any of this. It's strange, isn't it? No, it's not strange. You're basically not informed, or you won't listen. See, the Bible says that, you know, knowledge is important, but you got have to have knowledge along with wisdom, and you have to be willing to apply the knowledge. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge, but it goes on to say, it's because you've rejected the knowledge that I've given you, that I'm not going to reject you as my priests. That's what the Word says. And so many people hear the truth, but it goes in one ear and out the other. I think you read in James today how, what was that verse, how they go in and look in the mirror and they forget what they look like as soon as they walk away.
Yeah, I don't have the verse in front of me. I was just reading through it the other day with Lana. But yeah, basically, it's a fool basically looks at himself in the mirror and then walks away and forgets what he looks like and has to look back in the mirror again. But you know, it's funny what even goes along with your article. This is one that I had pulled up just for this the other day, and you had it. It was states researchers from the Sound Choice Pharmaceutical Institute recently published a study showing a correlation with the introduction of human fetal cell lines, which is what they use, aborted human cell tissue in these vaccines, as contaminants in childhood vaccines and the rapid rise of autism. The study was published in the Journal of Public Health and an open access academic journal. The September issue of the Journal of Public Health featured the study conducted by the researchers at Sound Choice Institute. The researchers track not only the introduction of aborted fetal cell lines introduced in the vaccine used in the childhood vaccines scheduled in the United States, but they also track standards for autism diagnosis as published in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual. Here's what they found. Autistic disorder change points years are coincident with introduction of vaccines manufactured using human fetal cell lines containing fetal and retroviral contaminants, including into childhood vaccine regimens. This pattern was repeated in the U.S., U.K., Western Australia, and Denmark. Thus, rising autistic disorder prevalence is directly related to vaccines manufactured utilizing aborted fetal cells. They had a direct relation to one another when they started putting aborted human cell tissue. This is aborted human baby tissue, fetal tissue they're using in these vaccines. And there's a list of them. And I mean, it's like everything. Hep A, Hep B, measles, MMR, mumps, rubella, polio, rabies, shingles, smallpox, chickenpox, cystic fibrosis. I mean, it's down the list. They use all these different forms of different fetal cell tissue in them. And so they're stating right here in the research there was a direct correlation when they started putting aborted human fetal tissue after 1979 and vaccines and the massive raise in autism now. Direct correlation. I mean, it doesn't get much clearer than that.
Remember when I did that show last summer on Nagalase and GCMAF molecule, and they're finding now that this Nagalase is extremely prevalent inside of these children that have autism. And they're trying to figure out how in the world the Nagalase has gotten into these children. Now, Nagalase, what it does, for those of you who didn't hear that show, Nagalase, there's a compound, or basically it's called a macrophage. It's like a vacuum cleaner in the bloodstream. And what it does, it goes in and cleans up viruses and cancers and all these things in the blood and gets rid of them. It basically eats them.
And so it's like a cellular vacuum cleaner. And this macrophage has two sugar molecules hanging on the bottom of it. And this sugar, these sugar molecules attach to vitamin D3, which activate the macrophage. That's what activates the entire immune system to make it work. It's vitamin D3. That's why D is so important. That's why sunlight is so important. That's why taking a D supplement is so important. But here's what happens. If you don't have sufficient quantities of vitamin D, or you have excessive quantities of NAGLACE in the bloodstream, the macrophages aren't activated. And so I'm thinking now, this is total speculation on my part, so don't say this is the gospel according to Ted, because I've not done the research on this. But I personally believe they may be using a retrovirus in those fetal cell strains they're using, Austin, which when they're putting them into this injection for these different immunizations, which don't provide immunization, by the way, these different vaccines that are causing this massive increase in NAGLACE, because this is what Gonzalez was working on when he was suddenly found dead. They said he killed himself, and they said he got murdered. Nobody knows. And, you know, we've already mentioned this on the show before, that all these other doctors that are dying aren't involved as far as this research with all these compounds necessarily. One or two might be, but not all of them. But what I find interesting, when you were reading that, suddenly a light kind of came on to me just tonight, I mean just right now, and thought, maybe this is how they're getting the NAGLACE into the body. Maybe this is how they're impairing the immune system with such efficiency, is using the aborted fetal cells that have retroviruses attached to these fetal cells when they're going into the body, which is ending up wiping out this NAGLACE, or elevating the NAGLACE and rendering these macrophages ineffective. Now, I bet you that was some of the research he was doing. That's probably why the man's dead now. But I find that fascinating that you said that, because I had not seen the correlation between the use of these aborted fetal cells. Remember, these are dead babies. They're taking dead babies that they've aborted, and they're growing stuff in their cell culture, and then they're basically putting it back into the vaccines and injecting it into you. Now, to me, that makes sense. None of this makes any sense. I mean, this whole thing is so stupid that this is actually happening in the United States and in some of the Western European countries. I mean, these people, these Sabbatean, Frankus, Kapalus, Luciferian, lowlife people that want to destroy everything that God made, they're doing a pretty doggone good job of it. And if you listen to the show, it'll be on this Thursday, Friday, and Sunday night that I did on Hagman last week, or on Friday night. We're going to go into detail on what happens inside of the human body when it's exposed to chemtrails, the possible implication of RNA, the possible implication of piezoelectric crystals, all of this stuff that could be coming out of these chemtrails, which slides have now shown when they've taken rainwater samples that it's in there, all of this stuff and how it affects the human body, the human's immune system, and how it's all being tied, it's all tying us back together with the artificial intelligence they're using in these huge mainframe computers now, these quantum computers that they're putting together that are so fast that they can actually take all of the bits and bits and bits of all this NSA data that's being collected and process it, Austin. These things are insanely fast, and I personally believe, now you can call it what you want to, you can say I'm nuts, it doesn't make any difference, I mean, gosh, who knows, I'm not normal anyhow, I know that, gosh, I've never been normal, but normal being a bell curve, meaning that the C student is normal, I've never been that. So here's the reality, something's going on in this world right now. And what do you want to call them? Alien technology, fallen angels technology, demon technology, Luciferian technology, whatever you want to call it, I don't care. You pick your own little word that you want to use. This is not of this planet. This is so advanced, Austin, you know, and this has been going like this now for about the last 70 years, ever since 1947, and earlier, even earlier than that with the Nazis, with this alien technology they've been pulling up, fallen angel technology, whatever you need to call it to make yourself understand it, something's going on here that we're not being told. There's an underlying overreaching agenda here to try to enslave the entire population into basically robotics, nanochips, synthetic RNA, all to bring us under the power of an artificial intelligence. And so I talk about that in detail on the Hagman Show. So you got to have to listen to that. That'll be on this Friday night. It'll be Thursday, Friday, and Sunday on our show. It won't be Friday night. It'll be Thursday afternoon at 3 o'clock, Friday at 3 o'clock, and on Sunday night. Or you can listen to it on our archives or the Hagman's archives if you'd like to do that too. That's fine. But you're absolutely right, Austin. But I really believe that. Now that I've listened to you say that, I think the NAGLACE is being administered, being retrovirously created, whatever they need to do through the human fetal line.
the DNA they're using and they're injecting into these children. That's what I think. Here's another one. FDA is now preparing to fast-track new vaccines targeting pregnant women. Four vaccinations for pregnant women. Influenza, diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis. I mean, women, when they were pregnant, nobody touched anything about them. That was sacrosanct. I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean, you didn't do that. Now they want to inject them all with flu shots and everything else. Birth defects, chromosomal damage, premature death, low birth rate, pregnancy complications, and sudden infant syndrome, not infectious diseases, are the leading causes of death for about 23,000 infants dying before their first birthday in the U.S. every year, with half of those deaths occurring on the first day of life, by the way, right after the hepatitis shot. Women getting pregnant and delivering babies in America today have more than twice the risk of dying during pregnancy, childbirth, or within a year of giving birth than they did three decades ago, with heart failure, high blood pressure, stroke, diabetes, blood clots being a leading cause of death. In 2006, the CDC officials directed doctors give all pregnant women a flu shot, brain dead to do that. And in 2010, a Tdap shot during pregnancy, no matter how little time had elapsed between pregnancies. Prior to FDA licensure, influenza, diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis vaccines were not tested and proven or safe effective for pregnant women in large clinical trials when given during every pregnancy, either singularly or simultaneously. This is absolute reckless scientific behavior given to a vaccine group of manufacturers that have been given total blanket immunity by everybody, by Ronald Reagan, and they can do what they want to do, poison as many women as they want, kill as many babies as they want, and they're completely and totally above the law, Austin. Tell them about what Reagan did in the 80s.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, that's when he passed. Well, I forgot what was the name of it. The
Vaccine Injury Act, I believe. Yep.
Yeah, the Vaccine Injury. But basically, he passed it. I mean, by almost executive order that it didn't matter what happened, what anything happened with vaccines, death, injury, anything, that vaccine companies could not be held liable, nor could they be sued for any type of problems that vaccine caused. And the fact that we've seen this stuff jump so rapidly, and it just kind of, when you said this about the fetal cell vaccines, it made sense with the macrophage and the Nagalase, because you're right, this just started happening after 1979 is when they started taking aborted human cell tissue and basically growing viruses. And my question is, who approved this? Who said, yeah, it's a good idea, let's go ahead and start taking aborted babies and take their fetal cells and start growing vaccines in it, and then let's go ahead and take those vaccines and inject them back into babies again that we don't abort? I mean, when did that even possibly seem like that was a good idea to anybody to start doing that? But exactly right. And they're seeing a direct correlation after 1979 when they started using these aborted human tissue, direct correlation and rising autism massively. And now we're seeing autism related to so much other environmental pollutants. Dr. Stephanie Seneff states, glyphosate is the root cause of so many growing modern disorders, ranging from digestive to neurological, which have their origins in the heavy use of glyphosate and modern large-scale agriculture. She says the use of this herbicide has already cost many thousands of children and elders their health, which directly links to the neck-breaking rise also in autism in the recent decades, as well as in Alzheimer's, ADHD, celiac disease, and disruptions in the intestinal tract, that they have all become so prevalent in the recent years. And you guys heard me talk about it repeatedly. The vaccines and the GMOs are being used systematically to break down everybody's tissue, to break down everybody's immune system, to bring us down to a lower frequency that's able to be controlled more. That's why they're even saying now, like you said, that in 2025 now, they're saying around half of all children born in the U.S. might have autism. Is that just, I mean, do people just think that's just, coincidental? That ever since we started massively increasing GMO foods and spraying down our foods with glyphosate, which is a full-blown pesticide, I mean, it's an absolute disgusting toxic herbicide, that you're using this on the food, and they think it's okay, and then they're using aborted human fetal tissue to grow vaccines to inject it back into our children. That's why I tell you guys, I don't care what you think about it, I'm not vaccinating my children. Most of my friends that I know that have any sins don't vaccinate their children. There's a reason why. Do you really think it's necessary and God designed it to have aborted fetal cell tissue used in a vaccine and then inject it back into your child? Just think about that for a minute. Just take a few seconds and think about it. Is that really a good idea for me to do to my brand new newborn child that's never been exposed to any type of outside pollutants before? Let's inject him with a hypodermic needle with a vaccine that was grown in aborted human fetal tissue that has shown a direct correlation now with the rise of autism and these vaccines. Come on, guys. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out this stuff. It just say no. Just say no. You don't have to accept this type of rhetoric that they're passing off. You don't have to believe it. Just say no. It's like they used to always say, what was that thing with the back in the day with the drugs? Just say no to drugs. Just say no to vaccines. Just say no to GMOs. Just say no. It's not that difficult. Everybody gets so wrapped up in making sure everybody's happy now. They don't make their pediatrician mad. They don't make their friends mad. They don't make their family mad. They don't make the Muslims mad. They don't make anybody else mad. Everybody has to stay happy. I don't want anybody to hate me. I don't want anybody to get mad at me. So I'll just make everybody happy. I'll shoot up my children with over 60 different vaccines just to keep them happy. No. Just say no. It's ridiculous. Completely ridiculous.
You know, one of the best things that trial attorneys ever did, because I don't really care for most trial attorneys, though some of them are necessary. One of the things they did really well was back in the 70s, they got a hold of this vaccination stuff, and they started really hammering these vaccination companies, these manufacturers, and they started putting them out of business also. They started getting this huge lawsuits and huge, huge payouts for the damages they were deemed being done. And what the vaccine manufacturers were doing is they were covering up all the data. It's like, just like Monsanto did with glyphosate. And these guys were going back through all of their records through basically subpoenas, and they were pulling up all this data, and they were proving that they knew that these drugs, these vaccinations were going to do all of this stuff. And they were systematically putting all of the vaccine makers out of business. That's why Reagan did that. Because what happened is they came to him and they said, look, they're putting us all out of business because we're being sued for killing people.
Oh my God.
Imagine that.
We're being sued for killing people, but you guys are telling us that you want all these vaccines, but we can't be held accountable for what they do. Well, now there's 250 new vaccines in the pipeline, and now they're all coming at us, they're all chasing us down with hypodermic needles, and that's what they're planning on doing with us. Let me look at another one. Is whole milk dairy better than low fat? Now, here I'm going to share something with you. This whole thing about saturated fats causing heart disease, you know, that's pretty much has been proven it's not even real anymore. And it's also been proven that it really doesn't cause an increased amount of cancer. Skim milk was once considered hog slop. You know, I mean, while you probably become accustomed to seeing skim milk, 1%, 2%, and then whole milk when purchasing milk, keep in mind that it wasn't always this way. Prior to World War II, skim milk was not sold in stores, but rather was thrown away or fed as feed for chickens, hogs, and calves. During World War II, dried milk powder became a preferred relief food when the government asking U.S. dairies to produce 200 million pounds of dry skim milk powder for America's allies. When the war ended, however, a new marketing strategy was necessary, as written in the book Pure and Modern Milk, an Environmental History, and it said the development of skim milk as an attractive product for sale only came about because dairy producers, emboldened by their success selling milk to Uncle Sam during World War II, seized on post-war marketing opportunities to sell what once had been hog slop. I mean, unbelievable. And what happens is whole milk, real milk, unpasteurized, non-homogenated, from a certified state dairy, which says you can drink it and it's going to be clean. It's one of the best products you can eat, especially goat's milk. It's one of the best. You can use goat's milk for every mammal, pretty much, as far as an infant formula. And the craziest thing is, Austin, they take this formula for these kids now. They strip like 80 or 90 nutrients out of it. They add like 10 or 12 or 15 nutrients back into it, and they call it enriched formula. What the heck is that? And these kids are being raised on this stuff, and they're getting sicker and sicker and sicker with more and more allergies, especially the soy formula, which basically changes the left brain dominant hemisphere of a male to a right brain dominant hemisphere of a woman in little boys who are given soy milk to drink. It's unbelievable what's happened. Here's some of the interesting things. Here's in a 2014 study of open heart concluded the benefits of a low-fat diet, particularly a diet replacing saturated with carbohydrates or polysaturated fatty acids, is severely challenged. According to the report, the potential harms
of going on a low-fat skim milk diet include increase in the small, dense LDL particles. That's primarily from the hydrogenization. The pasteurization. It shifts to an overall atherogenic lipid profile. It means it lowers your HDL cholesterol, it increases triglycerides, and increases the APOA-1 ratio, smaller improvements in glucose tolerance, body fatness, weight inflammation, and other markers, increased incidence of diabetes and obesity, increased risks of cancer, increased risks of coronary heart disease, cardiovascular disease, death to heart disease, and overall mortality, increased oxidative LDL cholesterol. This is all from being on a low-fat diet. I mean, this is unhealthy. You need to be eating avocados, real butter, organic, raw grass-fed dairy, organic pasteurized egg yolks, coconuts, coconut oil, unheated organic nut oils, raw nuts, almonds, pecans, macadamia, seeds, grass-fed meats. You need to have this. You need to have it in a lot. I mean, we eat steak here on a regular basis here at the house. I went out just last week and got a big steak. And, you know, people need to understand, steaks aren't going to hurt you. They're not. I tell you, never eat pork. I'll tell you that right now. That's bad for you, okay? It's a trans fat. Even the World Health Organization, it's not a trans fat. It's a homotoxin. If you read in the Biological Therapy, Volume 1, Number 2, 1983, by Professor Hans Reckwig, it lists milk as a homo sapien or human poison, not milk, but pork products. And so you need to realize that, you know, pork is super bad for you, but beef is not. Grass-fed, non-GMO, non-hormone-laden beef is healthy to eat, and we eat it on a regular basis. Same thing with the raw milk. It's all healthy. Eggs, every single day I eat at least 4 to 6 eggs every single day. And it keeps my brain working right. Most of the time, of course, I'm kind of jumping around here on my statistics a little bit tonight. But that's what it does. It works great for your energy levels. Helps to build lean muscle mass. Helps to maintain lean muscle mass. Don't go on low-fat diets, guys. They're really unhealthy for you. And they can lead to all kinds of heart disease and other types of problems.
Oh, yeah, you're spot on with that. That's one thing that, you know, we always have talked about as far as in weight training and exercise is that you have to have adequate amounts of fatty acids in the body, specifically omega-3s and other healthy fats, because natural hormone production is just not there. You know, the brain doesn't work right, hormones don't work right, joints become too stiff, muscle tissue and muscle gains are not as pronounced when you don't have enough oil and fats in the body. That's why it's really good to get your fats from stuff like the cod liver oil that we carry or the organic flaxseed oil. Those are really good oils. You can also use organic coconut oil to cook with. But going on these no-fat diets, the problem is when you have no fat in your diet, the food digestion rate is super fast. So even if you're eating a big meal with no fat in it, you process it entirely too quick. So you're hungry again in like an hour. So then you got to eat again. So your caloric intake usually goes up because you're not getting adequate fats. And also along with that, if you go low enough fats for long enough, your mental acuity will start going through the floor. Absolutely. You'll have no mental acuity. You won't be able to focus. You won't be able to concentrate. Your speech pattern starts getting very poor. You can't put sentences together correctly. So omega-3 fatty acids and overall healthy fats in the diet are crucial for overall health. Here's another article here. You know, we discussed about mobile phones. You know, even the World Health Organization admitted that, you know, they may cause cancer. We've talked about it before, trying to keep off the mobile phones, use the wireless if best. I mean, the wireless still isn't good overall, but it's better than having a phone buried down your ear for hours at a time. Now, a new article just came out, scholarly article on cell phone safety, and the Journal of Electromagnetic Biology and Medicine reports that are finding that cell phones used in the shirt or pants pocket exceed the U.S. Federal Communications Commission exposure guidelines, and that children absorb at least twice as much microwave radiation from phones as do adults. They're also finding now exposure to radiation from cell phones during pregnancy affects the brain development of offspring, directly leading to hyperactivity. So that could be a possible reason besides the GMOs and the vaccines and everything else we're seeing, but that could be a reason that we're starting to see more issues with hyperactivity in children at a younger age that really they're not having brain issues, they're not having concentration issues, but they are having significant hyperactivity issues. And now they're saying that exposure to radiation from cell phones, which you have to understand now, guys, almost everything has some type of cell phone exposure, radiation exposure to it, with the Wi-Fi, the iPhones, the tablets, the iPads, all this stuff now have usually phones, internet, everything on them. They're emitting some form of microwave energy, and so you're using this stuff. We're baked in it all day long. We're always around it. Everywhere you go now, there's always a Wi-Fi signal. You always got a phone connected to you somewhere. So they're now saying that it does have effects on the brain and development of offspring. So it's really important. You know I've told you guys before, you know, Lana's pregnant right now. I always make sure every night when we get back to the house and we're getting ready for bed, I make sure the Wi-Fi router, which is on the opposite side of my house, is unplugged, completely unplugged from the wall, no power of the Wi-Fi. The cell phones are usually in another room. But, you know, keeping the stuff off as much as possible, honestly, you know, we can't get away from it in the world we're in today, but definitely limiting exposure in the areas that you can is a good idea, and articles like this just confirm that.
Well, no, you're exactly right, Austin. The cell phones, I remember years ago, we have a RV, right, and we use it for, you know, if we have a do a radio show or TV show or whatever. We used to drive there, and now it's easier just to do it via Skype. And I mean, so we have this RV. I remember I used to sit to my talking to my booking agent, and I remember I would set the phone down on the dash so I wouldn't hold it. And I remember one time I was talking to him for like 45 minutes. I had the phone plugged in so the battery wouldn't die. This is back in the 90s. And I remember I picked that doggone phone up, and it burned my hand. And the reason it burned my hand is that phone, you have to understand this, is a microwave transmitter. It's like a radar wave. It's like standing, putting your face in front of radar in front of a ship. Okay, but it's much smaller, but it's still producing microwave energy. And when you put you turn a microwave on and you put metal in it, you know, it gets really hot and starts barking. Well, that's the same thing it was doing with all the circuits inside of that cell phone. It's generating microwaves. It's cooking the cell phone. That's why the cell phone is so hot when you let it go for like an hour and you talk on it, you pick it up. That's why it's the microwaves are actually heating the internal components of the cell phone and the cell phone itself. Now, you think about that for a second. That was sitting on my dash 3 feet away from me. What if I'd had that thing pressed up against my ear for an hour? How hot would that thing have gotten up against my ear, and how much microwave energy would have been released into my skull? I see people, Austin, they literally are on their cell phones from morning until night every single day, either for work or for play, or for pleasure. I mean, today we were driving over to Tampa with Harrison and I, and we about got hit by a minivan. They're in there playing with their doggone iPhone, texting stuff, while they're driving down the middle of the interstate. I mean, people can't just put the stupid thing down and leave it be. I mean, you need to make a rule in your house that after 8 o'clock at night, that all the phones go off, the Wi-Fi goes off, and everything goes off, and that you don't want to be involved in it anymore. You make a rule, you don't turn it on until 7 or 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. Have breakfast together. Pray together as a family. Do what you need to as a family. But don't be sitting around constantly sticking your face inside of an iPhone or an iPad or all these other different types of phones, because everybody else does it. Hey, we're supposed to have communication with our family and treat each other with respect. One of the most disrespectful things that you can do when you're in somebody else's presence, especially your family or your elders or your parents or your whatever, your boss, is to start texting on a phone while somebody's talking to you. That is some rude behavior, guys. If you don't realize that, no one's ever pointed it out to you before. It's like today in church. I'm sitting in church, right? And there's this kid in front of me. He's like 15, 16 years old. He's right in front of me. There's a seat right in front of me. We're talking like a foot and a half away from me. And I'm trying to listen to the pastor. And as I'm looking at the pastor, this kid's right in my line of vision looking at the pastor. And this kid has both his hands, his fingernails, buried in his mouth, chewing his nails the whole service. Do you realize how annoying that was? Finally, after about 10 minutes, I looked at Sharon and I said, rather than saying something to this kid whose parents should have already corrected, since he's chewing his fingernails, he's not going to stop, I'm going to get up and move. We got up and moved to another part of the church so I wouldn't have to watch the kid chew his nails the whole service. That's kind of like cell phones. That's how annoying they are to other people when you're on them, when you're yelling on them, when you're texting on them, and you're supposed to be paying attention to what they're saying. And kids, if you got parents and they let you text while they're trying to talk to you, oh, I tell you what, your phone would be in the bottom of a swimming pool in about 3 seconds around here. I don't put up with it. And that's what we, because we don't let, we, my 16-year-old has a cell phone because he's in college and he drives a car. He's back and forth. We've got him like a 2002 4Runner with 160,000 miles on it. Yeah, he gets, because it's such an old car, I want to make sure that he has a phone in case something goes wrong, he can call for help. Nobody else has one. My 14-year-old doesn't have a phone. My 12-year-old doesn't have a phone. We don't give them phones. They don't need phones. We didn't have phones when we were 12, when we were 14, when we were 16. We didn't have cell phones until the middle of the 80s, for heaven's sakes, about 30 years ago. We didn't even know what a cell phone was, Austin. They didn't have an internet. Didn't have any of this stuff. This stuff didn't exist. And this technology has grown so fast and so quickly. Not necessarily good. We start looking at all this radiation and all this frequency modulation stuff that we got to deal with. By the way, the show tonight is brought to you by HealthMasters.com. We've got the best nutritional supplements in the world. We've got distillation systems. We've got a free newsletter. You can sign up for it at the website. No cost. Two or three times a week you get a newsletter from us. And I want to stop for just a second. I want to thank you guys for ordering your vitamins and your supplements from us. We really, really appreciate it. Even if you just get multiple vitamins and B-complex and vitamin C from us, instead of going to Walmart and buying the stuff they bring in from China, just to get some really good, high-quality supplements that use methylcobalamin instead of cyanide for the B12, we want to thank you, and we want to wish all of our customers a Merry Christmas, and thanks for listening to us. Also, in about 6 minutes when we're done with the show here, Dave Hodges is going to be coming on tonight. He'll be on from 8 until 11 tonight, and so you guys need to stay tuned for Dave. He's a good friend of mine, and he's actually come under a lot of fire right now, and I'm sure he's going to talk about it on tonight's show. We may have already spoke about it last weekend, about what's going on with Loretta Lynch, the Attorney General for the United States, actually singling out him and Doug Hagman and a few of the other people on radio and alternative media as far as an anti-Muslim rhetoric, saying that they're going to be prosecuted under hate laws. So you need to support Dave and listen to his show next, because he's called me up this week and he wants me back on the show again to be interviewed by him again, so I'm looking forward to that. But the thing about it is, guys, if you're in the Patriot movement right now, if you believe what we're telling you, if you understand what we're telling you, please support all of us. You know, support the Hagman, support Hodges, support us. Because we're out here putting our necks on the line, believe it or not. We really are talking about all this stuff on open radio like this and telling the people the truth. Because we want the truth to set you free. We want you to be free. We want you to walk in divine health. We want you to have tremendous energy, tremendous output all the days of your life. I'm 60 years old. I feel absolutely great. I mean, I don't feel 60. I feel like I'm 30. I feel as good as I did when I was in my 20s. I mean, I just always feel good. I always have good mental acuity. But again, I eat 3 to 4 to 6 eggs a day, including the yolks. I mean, I love having enough fat to make my brain work, because if your blood cholesterol drops too low, Austin, you can't produce testosterone. Your brain goes to mush. That's why statin drugs are so dangerous. So guys, thank you for the support. Health Masters, 1-800-726-1834. 1-800-726-1834. If you're calling internationally, it's 863-967-0244. That's 863-967-0244. Or you go to healthmasters.com. And again, I'm going to tell you this, and I tell you this all the time, and please forgive me because I'm not trying to be redundant. I will not turn this show into an infomercial. I mean, we've probably mentioned Health Masters for 1 minute today, tonight. That's it, and that's what we're planning on doing. Anything you want to close with, Austin, because we're coming to the break?
No, it's been great. Hope you guys enjoyed the show today. Like I said, if you need anything this week, give us a call. We'll be on the show again until Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then it will be replaying the Hagman Show Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. So if you need anything, give us a call this week. If not, you guys have a blessed night, and we'll talk to you back on the show tomorrow.
We appreciate you guys. We wish you a very blessed Merry Christmas and holiday season, and we'll talk to you again live tomorrow afternoon from 3 to 4. Thank you so much for listening.